Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Okay. 1 Kings chapter 19. I just want to read one verse of scripture to get us into the message this morning. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, if you're there, say amen. It's in the Old Testament if you're struggling. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to read verse number 4. It's up on the screen for you. For those of you, I haven't announced this in a little while, but those of you who have mobile devices, if you go to YouVersion, YOUVersion.com, and you can look for live events. And when you get there, search CRCOG, Crystal River Church of God, CRCOG, and you will find on your mobile device the notes that are up here on the screen. And you can add your own notes to them and follow along if you're really lazy and don't want to write. It says this, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree. Now, the NIV and the New King James Version says broom tree, but the King James Version, the one that Jesus used, says juniper tree. That was just a little humor there for some of you that didn't catch it. He came to a broom tree or a juniper tree, and he sat down under it and prayed that he might die. Here's what he said. I've had enough, Lord. Have you ever said those words? Enough. My dogs, I have two dogs. One smart, the other one's dumb as a box of rocks. But the one thing, I've trained them, but there's one thing that I can't get them to stop. And that's when somebody comes up that they just bark and bark and bark and bark and bark and bark. And it really gets on my last nerve. But I've trained them in the sense that when I say, enough, they quit. I don't know if they're trained or they're just scared, because I usually have a gun in my hand when I say it. One more peep out of you, buddy, and you're done. Just kidding about the gun. But when I say enough, they silence. How many of us have ever said that to the Lord? Now, we wouldn't be, you know, of course we ain't going to tell anybody because we're too spiritual for that. But how many of us have ever said, enough, God? I've had it. But he didn't stop there. He said, enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. He had a suicidal moment. He had a breakdown. Now, people have asked me, Pastor, have you ever thought about committing suicide? I haven't. I've thought about killing other people, but never killing myself. But I have had the moment when I go, enough! God, I can't take it anymore. And that's what I want to talk to you for a little while this morning, is juniper tree moments, or if you want to be correct with your Bible, broom tree moments. But I thought if I called it broom tree moments, somebody would think I was talking about a witch. So I didn't call it that. So I want to call it juniper tree moments. And there is nothing in this life is as important as making it to heaven. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing in this life more important than making it to heaven. Well, Pastor, what's the alternative? Hell. Well, I don't believe in hell. You will. I promise you at some point in time, you will. Well, I believe that we're living in hell on earth. Well, honey, if this is hell, I can't wait for heaven. I can tell you this, for the saint of God, this is the only hell that we'll ever know. But for those who don't know Jesus, this is the only heaven that you will ever know. But if we are to die well, then we must live well. If we're going to make heaven our home, then we ought to live well as well as die well. How many lives have been lost as they begin to reason that it would be better to end their lives than to just continue in the state that they're in. And you know, if you ever hear people that go, I'm just ready to die, what they usually mean is this. They're really not ready to die. They just don't want to live in the same condition that they've been living in. What they usually mean is, I don't want to continue on if this is the role of my life. I don't want to continue on if this is all that life has to do or to deal with me. I don't want to continue in this state. See, the giant of despair comes in and asks you, why should you choose life when it has been so accompanied with so much bitterness and so much pain? And then you come to church, and if you come to our church, I use my favorite scripture quite often, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And you sit there and think, well, that's good for you, preacher. You might have it all together, but I am struggling and I've had enough, and I'm just having a juniper moment where I would just wish that God would come and take me away. And I understand that. First of all, let me tell you, I don't have it all together, because I have juniper moments. Not in the sense that, God, I just want to die. No, we disguise them. We make them look more religious by saying, Jesus, just come on back. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. There's not a person in this room who has not had his own share of trouble or difficulties. Whoever it was that said, just because you serve God would eliminate your problems in your life, obviously never read their Bible. If they won you to the Lord by telling you that if you come to Jesus, all trouble will disappear, then let me help you. They were lying. Because there's going to be trouble. What is the difference? The difference is I have somebody who is bigger than my trouble, bigger than my problem, who comes along beside me and guides me and leads me in the way that I should go. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Woo! You see, I seem to not be as scared when somebody is with me who can handle what's going about to take place in my life. I don't seem to be so scared of the big dog as long as the owner of the dog is between me and him. Right? Juniper tree moments. Well, let's talk about the surrounding text. In this text of 1 Kings 19, it picks up just beyond one of Elijah's greatest victories. He faced down the prophets of Baal in a confrontation on Mount Carmel. And had won this confrontation. And Israel at this point was under the rule of Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. Jezebel was so mean, she would have to sleep with one eye open just to keep from hurting herself. She was a bad woman. Israel no longer resembled the godly nation. She had pursued other gods and all sorts of deadly distractions. And now God is using the iron from the soul or within the soul of Elijah to bring or to counterattack what's going on in the evil country. And then the gauntlet had been laid down by Elijah. And the God, he said, then the God who answers by fire, let him be God. He said, how long will you be halted between two opinions? 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 21 says, and Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So a little contest started after an altar had been built. In fact, the Bible declares Elijah took a broken down altar and rebuilt it. And I preached on that not too long ago. And a dead animal was placed on it, and it was soaked down with water. And they prayed, and nothing happened. And Elijah prayed a 63-word prayer that fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and even licked up the water, that it was dry by the time God got done. Elijah's God was the one that answered by fire. And after all the antics that came from the prophets of Baal, Elijah commenced to an old-fashioned whooping. He took the prophets of Baal and whooped them and caused and killed the prophets of Baal. So no doubt Israel stood in awe of the power of God, the power of the man of God that God used, because grace, I want you to hear me closely, grace had visited the life of Elijah and he had outshone them all. It was by the very power of God that this occurred. Now wait a minute, are we talking about the same man? Now here's the context, that in verse 4, he's sitting under a broom tree, a juniper tree, asking to die. But less than 24 hours ago, he's standing up on Mount Carmel and fire is coming down from heaven and consuming the sacrifice. And he has literally thousands of people watching and he's on top of the world and letting everybody know who the true God is. I don't know if you've ever been through that. I don't know if you've ever had a great victory and then 24 hours later just seemed like that the blocks had been knocked out from under you. You were celebrating 24 hours ago and now you're lamenting. You were celebrating 24 hours ago, but now you're just ready to cash it all in. You're really ready to give up on what God had just done. You forgot what he did yesterday. The word got back to the queen, what had happened on Mount Carmel. And she was overtaken by a maddening rage and she declared that the scalp, or she said, what you did to my prophets, I'm going to do to you within 24 hours. Mark my words. Now here's what's crazy. He stood against 400 prophets of Baal. He stood in front of the king and told the king some stuff, but when a woman spoke, he went running for the hills. Don't tell me women ain't powerful. I'll tell you right now, I'll take you on head, nose to nose. I don't care how big you are, I'll take you on. But a woman, women don't play. They quit kindergarten because they had recess. They do not play. And here's this old boy, stood against 400 prophets of Baal. Now he heard what the woman said and went running. Now let me tell you something. We are mostly and vastly affected by what we hear. We hear what somebody said and we're more prone to let that affect us than what we just saw. We just saw the power of God, but we heard that another entity is coming against us, and now we're afraid. Let me just help you. The same God that delivered you today is the same God that can deliver you tomorrow. The same God that just brought you through the test of 400 prophets of Baal is the same God that can keep this woman off your back. Don't be looking at your wife. The declaration paralyzed the faith of Elijah. It unnerved him in such a way that he went into a mental and spiritual slump. What news have you heard lately that has neutralized your faith? Oh, there's going to be cutbacks at the plant. Oh, we're going to, what was it? We're having to go up on your rent. We're having to do this. You just got the prognosis. What was it that paralyzed your faith? Here in the scriptures, there is a man who was at the strongest place, failed. That is often the very way that it is with men. At best, men are still just men. Let me tell you something. Let me help you in case you didn't catch it. At best, you're still human. I don't care how cool you are, how bad you are, how big you are, how smart you are, how finesse you are, you're still a human. And at best, we're human. Abraham failed in his great faith and sired a son out of doubt. Moses failed in his great meekness and in anger and bitterness struck the rock. Solomon failed with his great wisdom and in his folly pursued many wives and their idols. Elijah could stand on the face of Ahab or in the face of Ahab the king and tell him that he was Israel's greatest problem. But now that he heard from Jezebel, he went running and hiding. It is only when the power of the Holy Ghost is working within a man that he is able to rise above himself. I want you to hear me then. Only when the Holy Ghost is working inside of a man are we able to rise above ourselves. Pastor, what gives you the right to stand up there? Have you ever done the things that I've done? Yes, I have. The only power that I have, the only right that I have to stand here is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The only right that I have to stand here is that my sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus. And the only way that I can get up here week after week after week going through the same things that you do is by the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's only by the power of the Holy Ghost that you can rise above yourself. This is where we find this man at the juniper tree. There's not just a juniper tree. It appears that the giant of despair was waiting for him at the foot of this tree. We all have juniper tree moments. We all have those days when there is a prevailing sense of blurs and blahs and whatever you want to call them. Reasons for juniper tree. Let me give you a couple of them real quickly. I know that I'm being pressed. There are some reasons that we periodically find ourselves scrubbing around at the bottom of the barrel. Point number one is this. We are not thinking realistically or clearly. So the Lord sometimes needs to correct our perspective. Now, Pastor, what do you mean by that? If you read the story a little bit further, it goes on to tell us that Elijah thought he was the only one left. He was singing this old tune. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows the stuff that I've been through. He was singing that tune. He was quoting, everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. I'm going to go to the garden and eat some worms. Fat ones, little tiny skinny ones. That's what he was saying. Was Jezebel really stronger than Jehovah? Not at all. Of course not. Was Elijah the only one serving the Lord? Absolutely not. But there does come a time when in our own selves that we think that we're the only ones. That's the plot of the devil. That's a plot of the enemy. You're the only one that goes through trouble. Nobody else goes through stuff that you're going through. Look at everybody else. Look at them at church. They don't ever act like they go through nothing. Look at them. They just, I'll tell you what it is. They're all hypocrites. No, we just forget what we're going through when we come to the house of God and we plug in to a power source that is greater than what we're going through. That's the difference. Woo, hear me, somebody. It's a trick of the enemy to get your perspective all out of sorts if he can do so. What he wants to do to your life. When this happens, we allow fear to distort our thinking and we run instead of pray. The scriptures spill over with examples of those who found themselves in utter despair. David flagrantly sinned. Asaph bewailed his unjust treatment. Job was afflicted beyond comprehension. Jonah wanted to die after God spared Nineveh. Peter denied the Lord. Elijah despaired all the threats of Jezebel. Yet all of these were ultimately rescued. The despairing Philippian jailer nearly killed himself when the earthquake happened and the prisoners were freed. But he chose life that night. He and his entire family was eternally saved. No matter how deep the pit may be, we should keep hanging on, hoping against hope for God's solution to our trouble. It might not be what you want it to be, but God has an answer and God has a way out. If there was a way in, there is a way out. Betsy Ten Boom told her sister Corey in the Nazi concentration camp. She said, "There is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still." Point number two is this. We separate ourselves from relationships that strengthen us. Oh, good gracious, get this in your life, in your spirit. Why do we get juniper tree moments? Because we separate ourselves from relationships that strengthen us. Elijah had left his friend, his servant in Beersheba, and had traveled to the wilderness alone. The Lord didn't tell him to do that. He just decided to do that. Let me tell you what happened. Let me break it down in the modern day Christianity, modern day church. Are you ready? Well, my feelings got hurt. And I just need some time by myself. I'm just stopping church for a little while. Because I just need some me time. I just got some things to get straight. No, you don't. You need somebody to get in your grill. You need somebody to get all up in your grill and tell you this is not what God has for you. You need somebody to come over there and fight you out of a bad attitude. You need somebody to get in your face and tell you, you ain't quitting. I ain't heard no bell. Get back up and fight. That's what you need. You don't need to, I just need to get alone. Oh, here's one I love. Here's the one I just love. I love. Just need a little glass of wine to help soothe me. No, what you need is the wine of the Holy Ghost to soothe you. Because you know what? When you're done with the bottle, you still got the trouble. But when you get done, when Jesus gets done with you, the trouble's still there, but now you see a way out. Now you see I ain't always gonna be here. I wasn't destined to live this life this way for the rest of my life. I know I might be down, but I'm not out. God is too good to leave me the way I am right now. He will not always turn his back. I know that God's gonna bring me out. Are you hearing me? See, let me tell you. That's why you need church. Depression has a way of feeding on loneliness, and that's why every person needs a close friend that they can talk to. Let me help you though. Let me say this. You don't need a close friend of the opposite sex unless it's your spouse. Not somebody else's spouse. Your spouse. Amen. If you need it, well, I just found that I can talk to men easier. I guess you can. Cause men are checking you up and down and thinking how they gonna get you. No, they don't think that. Yes, they do. How do you know? Cause I am one. Y'all can go ahead and be all spiritual if you want to. Uh-huh. And men, well, this woman over here, she just understands me. Yes, she understands you because she wants you. But when they get you, you're going to realize they don't understand me like they once did. What's the moral of the story? We need relationships in our lives, and if you are married, that relationship needs to be your spouse. If you need somebody of the same, or to understand that maybe your spouse can't, get somebody of the same sex. But this day and time, you gotta be careful of that too. I get nervous if I start talking to a dude that understands all my feelings. I just get nervous about that, especially if they want to put an arm around me like, hey, 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 hey. Pastor, you're so homophobic. No, I'm not. I just know what's not, what? I'm just trying to tell you what time it is. And it's almost time for me to quit, so I gotta hurry. That's why you need the church. It is here in the fellowship of others of like faith that you can find strength for the journey. Number three, we sometimes must understand that the kingdom advances in quiet, unnoticed, and often subtle ways. What do you mean, Pastor? This is hard to grasp when we're in the aftermath of great victory. Because we want to celebrate. I love celebratory. I mean, you know, I love the quiet stuff. You know, I mean, I can get into the presence of God, you know, by the slow stuff. I love that stuff. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I just glorify your name. I love that. However, you know, what I really love is... celebratory. However, you got to understand that God don't always do it in the great shout. I know that there are sometimes God doesn't touch you with my word that I'm preaching. It might have been the music, might have been the song, it might be the family focus hour, a teacher that's teaching. It might be somebody who just come along and put their arm around. It might be somebody who just comes to God and say, hey, I just want you to know I love you. I understand. We got to understand this. Everything in Elijah's life had been geared to prepare him for this confrontation of Mount Carmel. The work of Baal would be destroyed forever, but it was not. Elijah probably decided that his whole life had been a waste and didn't count for nothing. Look, I did all this and then now look what's going on. It would be very shortly that Elijah would find God in the silence. This is often God's greatest pattern. He hides sometimes in obscurity. What do you mean? Yeah, God ever hit you in the face and you didn't even know where it came from? You just walking along. What? You know, it didn't happen in the church service. It happened afterwards when you was at lunch. To what? Or somebody, maybe a child just come by and said something. You're like, what? It's not always in the shout that he answers. In some dark cave after the juniper tree, among the shredded rocks and trees, here's what Elijah, he lodged, and he waited in the loneliness, but as he waited in that loneliness of despair, apparently there was a fire raging in the soul of Elijah. See, there are times that we're saying we don't want to be bothered, but really we do. We're saying, I'm giving up, but no, we just need somebody to challenge. We need somebody to blow on the embers of our lives and cause that flame and passion to come back to life. It had come to summon him from the solitudes of Zarephath and to stir an active life in him. Well, I guess my life is over. No, it's not. This was Elijah's first miracle, but it was not his last. Did you hear me? It was maybe one of the greatest, but it was not his last. God still has plans for you. God still has a plan for you. I want to say it. God still has a plan for you. While the fire raged, he waited, but he did not have to wait long. Behold, the word of God came unto him. So scripture declares. That word had come often to him before. It had come to him in Thisbe. It had come to him in Samaria after he had given his first message to Ahab. It had come to summon him from the solitude of Zarephath to stir up his active faith. Now it comes again. There is no place, I want you to hear me, there is no place on earth that is so lonely. No juniper so high. No cave so dark that the word of the Lord cannot come to you again. In the cave, the question was, I want you to think about this. I know I got to quit, but I got to get this out. Here Elijah is in a cave searching for God. Lord, I don't know where you at. I've been there. God, why did this happen? God, you know, God, why did this happen? Where are you, God? I don't know where you at. God, where? And then here's the word that comes to Elijah. It wasn't a word of, son, I have thee in my hand. No, here's the word that came. What are you doing here, Elijah? What? That was the word that Elijah got. Let me just break it down into Florida English. Dude, what you doing here? And Elijah said, did you just see everything that happened to me over there? Don't you? Dude, what are you doing in this cave? I didn't call you to the cave. I didn't call you to die in the cave. And while you sullin' over stuff that you ain't got no power over, there's still a world that's dying and going to hell. How often do we need that question asked for us again and again? What are you doing? It needs to come to us when we've deserted some job that we've yet to accomplish. It needs to come to us when we sit on the couch of laziness and attempt to secure ease. It needs to come to us when we dig a hole in the earth and bury our talents. What are you doing here? The question rings out. What are you doing here? It needs to come to us when we stand idle and lounging with those in the marketplace. What are you doing here? Life is a time for doing. The world is a great workshop where there is no rooms for sluggards. There is much to do, evil to put down, good to lift up, doubters to be directed, prodigals to be won back, and sinners to be saved. Huh. Let me give you my last one. Come on. What's next? When we are physically, thank you, Jesus. When we are physically exhausted and emotionally spent, we need to find rest and food and strength for the journey. When fatigue walks in, faith walks out. The stress and adrenaline from Mount Carmel and Jezebel's unopposed opposition for his long trek into the wilderness drained Elijah. By the time he got there, God, I just want to die. God, I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more. Often self-pity sets in when we have underrated our own efforts. My God, somebody hear me. In the depleted and dangerous day, all he could do was sleep. Oh, some of y'all going to enjoy this next one. Are you ready? Are you ready? Sometimes the best way to fight a giant is to go to bed. Wait a minute. I come... Pastor, so I need some armor. No, the best thing sometimes you can do. One of the things I love to do, my wife and I, we love to go cruising. I haven't been in a couple of years, but we're going to probably do one next year. And one of the reasons we do, now, we started out because when we first started cruising, we couldn't afford anything else. So we'd get the bottom floor, you know, inside cabin. I mean, it's like a cave in there. You don't know when it's daylight and when it ain't. But I found out that works good for me. You know why? Because I sleep. You don't have no cell phone service. You don't have no Facebook. You don't have no computer. I sleep. And then when I wake up, I feel refreshed. When I wake back up, man, I've got some strength for the journey. Ah, my God, somebody hear me. Somebody hear me. Now, I'm not talking about you need to sleep all the time, but I am telling you sometimes the best thing you can do when you are stressed, when you're depleted, when you just come through a great battle, sleep. You want me to write you a prescription? I'll give you one. Sleep. I didn't say on Sunday morning. Sleep. Not during my message, but sleep. All right. What's my next one? I got to hurry. When we submit to self-pity, the Lord wants us to submit to Him. Self-pity finds formation at the point that we have set unreasonably high expectations for ourselves. See, I messed that up sometimes. What's my next one? Do I have another one, Liz? Oh, there it is. Often self-pity sets in when we have underrated our own efforts and have forgotten the contributions of others. When we say, look, I built this whole church by myself. No wonder I'm so tired. That's what happens. When we think we did it all. You know, my dad, now remember, I'm number 10 out of 11 children. When my children were small, we got two kids. My dad said, Dad, our son, you gonna have any more kids? I said, no, I believe two's enough. He said, why? I said, raising kids is tough. He said, Lord, ain't that big reason. I raised 11 of them. I said, it was a different era. How many diapers did you change? Well, I can't really count them. I don't remember even ever doing it, but I'm sure I did. I said, no, I changed many of them, because if you ever change a diaper, you know, you remember. I don't care how cute they are, you remember. Despair comes to beat his prisoners as much as he wants to kill them. He cannot. Are you listening to me? Despair might come to beat you and to kill you, but as much as he might try, he can't kill you. He can beat you, but he can't kill you. So you come to God and get your strength from God and quit letting despair have his way in your life and say, no longer am I going to live in this dilapidated state. No longer will I take the abuse from despair. Why, Pastor? Here's why. Because the sun will shine again. I don't care how dark it gets tonight. Tomorrow the sun's going to shine. I don't care how bad it might get. It might get bad for weeks, but the sun will shine again. Would you just look at your neighbor and tell him, the sun's going to shine again. The sun's going to shine again. Stand to your feet in this place. The sun. Everyone, listen to me closely. Everyone has a key deep in the pocket of your soul. However, it is very often that we forget that it's there. The key is called the Word of God. And at any point, we can take it out and begin to use it. When giant despair tells us that your sin is too great and you cannot be forgiven, take the key out and begin to tell him, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. When the giant of despair tells that God is through with your life and that nothing ever will be accomplished with it, there's a key there for that. You did not choose me. But I chose you and appointed you, and that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name may give you. When the giant tells you that God no longer loves you because you've messed up too many times, that you're hopelessly lost, remind him of Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared to of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Things are never what giant despair wants you to think they are. There is a key of promise to every situation that you may battle with, and God is able to deliver us. The sun will shine again. Would you just throw up your hands and thank God for the sun shining again?
I can see a breakthrough coming.
Yes.
There's joy in the morning.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.